www.wordsandculture.ca for more information and language learning. I'm Michael Hutchinson. Be well. Keep smiling.
Words and Culture is made possible with funding from SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Words and Culture is produced by Kim Wheeler. Kaylin Belair is our audio engineer and editor.
Onigiwahi.
Gigawabamin. Soko seni denit e ninen yuji hina.
Ekose.
Kakuhutau. We'll see you again.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, SFU's community radio station broadcasting live from Burnaby, BC.
This is Bird Note. The familiar birds of the present are the direct descendants of dinosaurs. But there's another group of animals that you might say looks pretty prehistoric, and that's the crocodilians. Crocodiles and their relatives, like this American alligator. Crocs are the closest living relatives of birds. The ancestors of all crocodiles split off from the dinosaur group about 250 million years ago. Dinosaurs diversified into all kinds of lifestyles, herbivores and predators. Big and lumbering, small and nimble. Crocodilians diversified too. There were ocean-dwelling crocs, and there were ones that ran around on two legs, like some well-known dinosaurs. But mass extinction events hit the crocodilians hard. These days, crocs are scaly, short-legged, and ambush their prey from shallow water. They don't share many of the unique adaptation of birds, like feathers and impressive vocal abilities. That said, gators definitely know how to growl. It's a far cry from the dee-dee-dee of a chickadee, but both voices carry on the legacy of ancestors that lived long, long ago. For Bird Note, I'm Ariana Rimmel.
Westward Music Festival is back for its sixth year of rocking concerts and is taking over the City Center Artist Lodge in the heart of Mount Pleasant on June 22nd and June 23rd. Westward is set to be both local and global, with headliners Cherry Glazer performing on the 22nd and Mick Jenkins on the 23rd. Along with the music, the artist studios at the City Center Artist Lodge will all remain open during the festival. And as the night winds down, you can find other shows spread across renowned venues such as the Fox Cabaret, Biltmore Cabaret, and Redgate Art Society, all which are conveniently within 5 blocks of the City Center Artist Lodge. Pick up tickets today at admit1.com or go to westwardfest.com for more info.
Members of the Ontario First Nations Knowledge Keepers Council addressed the controversial Bill C-53 Tuesday at the Chiefs of Ontario Annual Chiefs Assembly and say they support the Chiefs of Ontario and its leadership in the opposition of the passing of Bill C-53. Bill C-53 is an act respecting the recognition of certain Métis governments in Alberta, Ontario, and Saskatchewan and will give effect to treaties with those governments to make consequential amendments to other acts. Many First Nations in the province of Ontario, including Six Nations of the Grand River, have opposed the bill's passing, stating that the claims of organizations like the Métis Nation of Ontario and others alike are false and believe their rights as First Nations peoples under the Indian Act are in jeopardy. Currently, Bill C-53 is set to move to third reading in the House of Commons and once passed, only awaits royal assent to officially become a law. Ontario First Nations Knowledge Keeper Patricia Oakes spoke on June 11th during the Chiefs of Ontario Annual Chiefs Assembly on the issues being faced in regards to Indigenous identity fraud.
So our knowledge keepers had a huge discussion on pretendians or frauds. I know a lot of you have seen a lot of this in the press lately about people that are being exposed who are non-Indigenous. So there's a great concern among the knowledge keepers with so many fraudulent Indigenous people being exposed. These are individuals who say they're Indigenous but are not. They are not Indigenous persons using indigeneity to to steal educational or music awards, doctorate degrees, scholarships, high-paying jobs, jobs within colleges or universities, roles as elders, etc. They are stealing revenue, recognition, and opportunities from real First Nations people.
Oak said the Ontario First Nations Knowledge Keepers Council support the Chiefs of Ontario's position against the passing of Bill C-53.
The Ontario First Nation Knowledge Keepers Council stands in support with the Chiefs of Ontario and leadership in their opposition against Indigenous identity fraud. We, the Knowledge Keepers, see ourselves responsible for cultural and territorial integrity and our rights and land protectors, now and for the next seven generations. Indigenous identity fraud poses a risk to the very integrity we see ourselves responsible for. The fraudulent theft of our identity, culture, and heritage for personal and collective gain is an issue we must solve. The Knowledge Keepers Council unequivocally supports the Chiefs of Ontario and Ontario leadership in their challenge against Indigenous identity fraud and false Indigenous claims.
The presentation was presented before the Chiefs of Ontario Annual Chiefs Assembly at the Six Nations Sports and Cultural Memorial Centre on June 11th. And for more information on the Annual Chiefs Assembly, you can visit chiefsmeeting.com/ACA 2024.
Oh, And Owlowan, I'm Sabrina Spencer with The Journey Continues, highlighting local stories that matter to you. The Terrace Pride Pal volunteers are gearing up for Phoenix Fest, a celebration for Pride Month in Terrace, taking place on June 15th. CFNR spoke with Ollie Sherrill, who is a volunteer for the Terrace Pride Pals and also an organizer of the event. Inspired by the success of last year's Pride Prom, this year's festival embraces the theme of self-expression, symbolized by the phoenix rising from the ashes. Organizers aim to create a safe and inclusive space for LGBTQ plus individuals and allies, with a wide range of activities including music, food, mask making, and rock painting. Heritage Park, where the event is held, will provide educational displays on LGBTQ plus history.
Ollie, my position is volunteer with Terrace Pride Pals.
Phoenix Fest, which is to celebrate Pride Month here in Terrace. So what inspired the inception of Phoenix Fest, and what is the primary message or theme guiding the event?
So the inspiration for it was just kind of continuing what we did last year, which was also a Pride Prom. And we just wanted to make this one a little more fun, a little more like summery themed, plus the kind of the imagery of like a phoenix rising from the ashes was sort of a big thing that we really liked. And then from there, it kind of evolved into other mythical creatures and just kind of like portraying yourself outwardly, how you see yourself inwardly, and just being true to who you are.
Is this your second or is it your third Pride Prom?
This is our second.
Can you elaborate on the symbolism of the phoenix and how it's incorporated in the festival?
Yes, a lot of our decor, to the best of our ability, is phoenix themed, but we also have some that's just other creature themed. There's a lot of like fairies and mermaids and dragons and things like that.
How does Phoenix Fest aim to create a safe and inclusive space for members of the LGBTQ plus community and the allies?
We have a lot of people participating that are kind of like, I don't want to say like super well-known in the community at large, like just in Terrace in general, but there are a lot of familiar faces. So we're trying to get a lot of inclusion of people that, everyday people that you would recognize. And just having a lot of people who are there who are not necessarily part of the community, but like you said, just the allies being there to support us and to show people that they're people that it's safe to be around and it's okay to be who you are around and that they don't have to hide or what they like.
And what can attendees expect from the event in terms of entertainment, activities, opportunities for community engagement?
We have a local DJ is going to be playing music. We have food and cupcakes. We have mask making, like masquerade masks with lots of feathers and paints and gems that you can kind of just create however you want it to be. We are doing rock painting. So one of the other summertime activities we like to do is go on hikes through Fairy Island or the House Creek Trail. So we're going to paint rocks so that we can take them, prize-themed rocks, so we can take them on our hikes and leave them around town. We also have a couple of games that we're going to be playing. We have some foam axes that we have a target for that we're going to throw and have prizes for. And there is a giant lawn rainbow Jenga we're going to have. And then just music and dancing.
Are there any notable speakers participating in Phoenix Fest this year?
We don't have any speakers or anything like that this year, no. Heritage Park, which is where we're having the festival, is going to be putting up some information about the history of the LGBT community. And then we'll also have a few posters that have information about our group, information about TransCare BC, where we get some of our funding from. And then also a bit of history about gender expressions or sexualities, like what it means to be a lesbian or what it means to be gay or non-binary or trans or things like that. And those are going to be put up with some pride flag themed angel wings that I actually painted for our group last year for our prom.
What do you hope attendees will take away from their experience at Phoenix Fest? And what are the aspirations for the future of the event?
Last year, it was the first really big public event that we had. All of our events are free to attend, public, anybody can show up, but it can be kind of our core group of people. and it was, the prom was the first one that we went really kind of as above and beyond as we could in terms of advertising and getting sponsors and things like that. With this year, we tried to reach out to as, you know, cast as wide a net as possible. Even if we get no more attendees, simply just to show the town that we are here, we are celebrating who we are and what we do, and that it's okay to be gay and it's okay to be queer and it's okay to be these things, and that there are other people in town that are in your corner and that will support you and will love you no matter what.
This story is brought to you in partnership with the Local Journalism Initiative of Canada. You can see the full story at frequencynews.ca.
Nothing to pass the time but rhyming and catching papers. Working inside my chambers, music disturbs the neighbors. Choosing an hour later, better it's not than later. Better than serving tables, look at observing labels. And music I earned a staple, my music is served as fables. There's nothing better in life than learning lessons. I had to go and pick up a mic and earn the blessings. People tried to stop my stride from climbing up. People tried to call me lame and incompetent. My time is now, enough's enough. Gotta get another buck, so in the future run it up. Run it up to out of luck, so now I gotta use my stuff or I wasted my time. Destiny chose the song and I invested these rhymes. Leave it written on my stone that I was testing the times. I said to leave it on my stone that I was testing the times. Sorry. I found my way out of this place. I found my way to outer space. These stars align within me, shoot far beyond who is going with me. I found my way out of this place. I found my way to outer space. These stars align within me, shoot far beyond who is going with me.
Shooting for the stars, the destination is Mars. I pray I be carried by bars into tomorrow. I borrow inspiration from sorrow. My motivation is to follow through to turn my dreams into my occupation. I'm living proof a bad situation can make you blossom. I started from the bottom, now my sneakers absolutely got them. When money ain't a problem, solving complications easy. As long as you believe in your vision and think freely. I go hard building legacies because my kids need me. It's a two-way street about life, they also teach me humanity and love. I will rise up above where I was because self-doubt is like drugs. You become addicted to pessimism. I catch the rhythm to other galaxies. Not worry about the fallacies. Told in this reality, I will persevere. Making my mark on this planet. They know A1 was here for Jazz, Breonna, Nasir, and my descendants. I make an impact with this mic. I make commitments. A life of significance. Supersedes the ignorance. Dreams are the rocket fuel. The ceilings are limitless.
I found my way out of this place. I found my way to outer space. These stars align within me, shoot far beyond who is going with me. I found my way out of this place. I found my way to outer space. These stars align within me, shoot far beyond who is going with me.
There were tears, anger, and lots of memories shared in Cabot Square on Wednesday as Montrealers paid their respects to over 30 people who've died since 2021, all of whom experienced homelessness.
I miss him so much. I miss everyone. I got no more.
I know most people think that, oh yeah, they're out in the streets, they're lazy, they don't want to work. That's not the fact. There's a story behind that. There's trauma behind it.
This is Maggie Cispadio, lead intervention worker at Resilience Montreal, a local day shelter supporting the folks around Cabot Square. They co-organized Wednesday's vigil with the Native Women's Shelter of Montreal.
These were the people that were the strongest people I know personally, and that survived on the streets and that knew how to live on the streets. You know, for me, I know it's not easy living on the streets. You know, it's the danger to it and the addiction that comes with it. Sometimes it's just too late because of the addiction they have.
She says that people are often just trying to survive with the cards they've been dealt. But this can lead to dangerous situations and preventable deaths.
A lot of them will walk around at night or use just to stay up for their safety. Like one of our clients that was a regular was found at the metro station in a washroom. You know, he didn't need to die like that. He was set, promised, I don't know about the promise, but to have a home because he was living under the bridge, you know, one of the people, and it was too late. We could have found and worked together as a team and worked hard to get him where he needed to get.
Most of the ceremony on Wednesday was for sharing memories of the folks who've been lost. Vanessa Laprise says she knew three of the people being honored.
Mohawk Mike took care of a lot of people. There's too many stories to tell. When he was alive, he was somebody that, and they all knew me through him. Nobody can touch me if he's around. Nobody can even look at me. Melanie was like a sister to me. She came to stay with me while she's going in and out of her boyfriend's. Helped me out, cook, clean, take care of my son, you know, and I still had a place. She doesn't know that I'm homeless now because it was in December when I became homeless due to the system and nothing of what I've done. Melanie just got her place and she wrote me a message and said she just got her own place and her own teas. And then I found out about her passing. I still don't know how she passed away. I don't normally ask. I don't like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, unfortunately, I know pretty much everyone on the board. And it's almost like, where do you get started?
Speaking now is Resilience's David Chapman. He says that many of the issues that push someone to live on the streets are getting worse.
People say, well, why is there like 36 people now on these boards? And why is that? And it's a number of factors that compound together, okay? So one is a housing crisis and the inaccessibility of housing. And for the homeless population, it's almost impossible because often they don't have references and, you know, a great credit. And so they're going to be at the bottom of the priority list for any new apartments coming open. Also, there's the rise of more dangerous drugs like fentanyl. The third factor is you have in Quebec, and particularly in Montreal, this policy where there's a continual pattern of clearing encampments without a real destination. Okay, so what happens is, for example, the situation under the Ville-Marie Bridge last year that Resilience was quite involved with, you had a number of people living under that bridge and had, as a small community, a little bit of safety in community, other people to watch their stuff, other people with naloxone kits, should you overdose. And we warn that if you just boot them out without a real destination, where they're going to end up is in a more dangerous circumstance. They're going to be alone in abandoned buildings or, you know, in dark alleyways or in tunnels under the city or further away in forested areas alone. And what's going to happen? Well, much more likely they're going to overdose. And big surprise, within less than a year, Matthew O'Donohoe here, who was living under that bridge, died hidden away of an overdose, as we predicted. And, you know, no one's ever held accountable for this kind of stuff.
There's anger as well as sadness at Wednesday's vigil because of a sense that advocates aren't being listened to by the folks in power.
This girl right here, Natasha, I went with her to the new lovely mega hospital by Vendôme that should be the latest and the greatest. She didn't have her health card and she was in really rough shape, and she's here, she's getting hassled at the front desk at the hospital for not having a health card, and And this is precisely why she's avoided going to the hospital for so long in the first place. And not only is she hassled, but she's hassled right in front of me, who, you know, is an intervention worker, and I got my little Resilience Montreal shirt, so you'd think they might be on their best behavior, you know. But that's a really common narrative. A lot of the young Indigenous women on this board died of preventable illnesses that, you know, if they were caught much earlier, they wouldn't be dead. And yet, one of the challenges is that they don't have confidence in how they're going to be treated when they go to the hospital. And the problem is that we still live in a province where the premier's, you know, just denying systemic racism. And so it's a pretty steep hill to climb, is what I'm saying.
Organizers stressed again and again that they want a resilience in every borough in the city. LaPrise says that for folks experiencing homelessness, that support can be life-saving.
Just for a part for my Indigenous community. If you're listening, and up above, I love you. Thank you for being a part of saving me too, and having this life to live here on Earth and still being here. They have a big part of why I'm still here. Or I'd be on that board too, and Resilience. If Resilience wasn't here, there'd be a lot more of us on that board.
I'm Jules Bijal. Thanks for listening.
I'm being completely honest now, okay? Homelessness makes me uncomfortable. But then I think, at least it's not sleeping on the sidewalk with everything I own uncomfortable.
Don't let homelessness assumptions get in the way of homelessness solutions. Go to CanadaCanDoIt.ca. Help the Canadian Alliance to End Homelessness.
Greetings, netizens. Join us every Tuesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific for Bitcoover FM, featuring the best in chiptune, video game soundtracks, synthesized music, history of electronic instruments, and more, right here on CJSF 90.1 FM. We'll see you in the virtual plaza, and remember to synthesize with nostalgia.